This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, West Durham. Huge. I'm going to have to play hurt a little bit today.
Yeah, you say you're not at you're not playing at 100% today.
No, doesn't matter. Got to put some dirt on it and play, man. Got to go. It's playoff time.
Winter got you down.
Let me tell you, man. You know, I sleep about 2 hours a night.
Anyway.
Normally.
Normally, yeah.
Last night, as soon as this show ended yesterday, I went to bed.
Okay.
And slept for about 4 hours.
Is that right?
I did.
Okay.
And then we did the radio show, and we finished early at 6, and then I went to bed. I slept more in the last 24 hours than I have probably in 3 weeks.
So how are you feeling elsewise?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would say about a 2.5, maybe a 3.
Okay. Well, we'll try and take it easy for you.
No. We go hard, man.
We go hard.
Full contact practice. Full throttle.
Pads, the whole bit.
That's what we do.
Hashtag we do this.
That's what we do. All right, it's a Friday. We got a lot to get into.
We got a busy show.
We do.
Kelly Gramlich will join us. Is this her debut?
Yes, it is. Show 91. Took 91 shows to finally get Kelly on the program.
No quack, but we have Kelly.
Right.
Yeah. She'll be by phone. You, me, and Bobby V.
Bob Valvano makes his debut.
That'll be at 8:30.
Two debuts.
And then the triumphant return of Eric McLean to the basement.
That's it.
In the 9 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he couldn't be bothered in the 8 o'clock hour.
Is he sleeping?
And so, Mike will be here at 9 o'clock, and we'll kind of start our slow run-up to the championship game, which is 10 days away.
How many days?
10.
You sure? You got it?
It's 10.
You got it.
It's unbelievable.
That's right.
And we're going to have to get – you know what? Maybe next Monday or so or whenever we get Bill Hancock on this show to explain exactly how this happened. Okay, maybe not.
Let's not put it in Hancock. I mean, Bill's busy.
I love Bill.
Bill's really busy for us. Too busy for us.
You think?
Let's hope so.
Okay. Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Interesting night. Tough day for Boston College.
Oh.
Boston College and bowl games. Let's discuss meteorologically what goes on here.
Wes, this is no lie. A year ago, I'm flying to the Cotton Bowl. All right, to do our dog and pony to cover Clemson Notre Dame.
Right.
As we're coming into Fort Worth, I mean, the plane is bouncing sideways. DFW, I mean, we're like, man, get this baby on the road. I remember looking out the window, and you could see in the distance the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
The lights are on, and I mean, it is coming down sideways.
And a purple cloud is hanging over the Cotton Bowl.
And I realized, oh, my God, Boston College playing Boise State.
Allegedly.
For about, I don't know, 20 minutes. Then they were like, man, we're out of here. So the game gets canceled. I'm doing the radio show yesterday, and I'm looking for scores for the BC game.
Mm-hmm.
Weather delay, I'm thinking, what in the world are the odds of one team having to go through it for the second year in a row? We had the lightning delay. Of course, unfortunately for BC, they resumed the game because it was not pretty. There's no way to spin this. Look, by the way, plenty of good seats were still available, as I told you yesterday. You have to be a true fan to be in this nonsense. Look at this.
Oh.
Yikes. What time can you get here? Having fun yet?
Oh.
Welcome to Birmingham. But this was not pretty, though, Wes.
No,
can't
none
spin
of this.
For Jeff Hafley, he's got a lot of work to do, and I'm sure he took inventory and watching this going, all right, we have to improve in areas A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah.
Because there really wasn't a whole lot to get excited about with this effort.
You know, when I was watching this yesterday, I went back to something you said yesterday during the show, and that was the front end of the American Athletic Conference was pretty good.
Not pretty good, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I
think Cincinnati, Memphis, that group.
Navy. SMU. We're not even talking about UCF yet, team the Pitt beat.
Right.
That league at the top was really
pretty good.
Top half of their league was excellent.
Yeah. So kind of
what we're missing right now in the ACC, this side of Clemson, is kind of what our league needs to get back to having some quality depth at the top.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a couple things in watching the game yesterday. I first thought was what you – and we had talked about this, full disclosure on the show, we'd talked about this a couple months ago off the air, that the front end of the American was pretty good. Just based on the way Memphis was playing, SMU, certainly that Saturday night game they had on ABC, and then you were talking about what we saw from Cincinnati, in addition to, you know, what we said earlier about Central Florida. The other thing was this. When you start looking now at the ACC, and we touched on this yesterday with Jamie Newman, the quarterback position going to be pretty critical now next year in the ACC when you start thinking about teams you're going to invest in. Despite the loss to Kentucky the other day here in Uptown Charlotte, Virginia Tech? I mean, I kind of like where Hendon Hooker had the Hokies at the end of the year. You know, can you make some plays on the perimeter? You take your givens, Sam Howell, Trevor Lawrence, you know, the scenario that's going to play out at what you're going to have at Pittsburgh with Kenny Pickett. The quarterback position is going to be an interesting dynamic in the spring for us to talk about.
It better be good, because if it's just okay, I mean, I think there's a limit on your football team if your quarterback's just okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I said to you, Wes, the season's over for everybody but Clemson in football.
Correct.
If I would have said to you in the middle of summer of 2019,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you four teams.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
I'm going to now take you back before the season starts. Yes. We know Clemson's going to be good, right?
Are we going to go back and visit some of that stuff we talked about before the year started?
No. Just hear me out.
All right.
Because I was thinking about this yesterday. If I asked you in the middle of summer of 19, I'm going to give you four teams. Syracuse coming off a 10-win season.
Sure.
NC State coming off a 9-win season. Miami coming off a 7-win season.
Right.
And Florida State needed a bounce back. Those four teams. Miami, Florida State, NC State, Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
Wes, they won a grand total of 21 games, those four teams. 21 games. All four with losing records. If I would have said to you in the middle of the summer, hey, Wes, I got news for you, man. Let me tell you what I know.
Mm-hmm.
Miami, Florida State, NC State, Syracuse. None of them are going to have a winning record. You just said, you're out of your mind.
I would have.
Right?
Yeah.
You're out of your mind, Pac. What are you doing? You fall down a flight of stairs again? How much medication are you on making a statement like that? Miami, Florida State, NC State, Syracuse.
All had losing records.
All had losing records.
And none of those schools had any kind of defining moment or any kind of continuity to their season at all.
Nope. Never got – Miami would be the only one I would have told you in the middle of November. I thought they had kind of found it with Jaren Williams. And you look at the rest of the schedule with FIU and Duke in a bowl game that you thought, you know what? Miami just has enough personnel here that they could win nine games.
Mm-hmm.
They go LLL in those three. Now they're 6-7, and the vibe is totally different. Totally different.
Yeah.
But those four teams, Wes, when you start talking about 2020, you know, Dave Doran's guys, hey, he's done a complete revamp of his staff. We talked about it yesterday.
Right.
Syracuse was a major disappointment. You know, you go from winning 10-5. Miami and Florida State, Sunshine State, they both have to be good in 2020. I mean, those are four critical teams.
Mm-hmm.
For moving forward for this league.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody else has to start joining in the mix. But it just goes to show you how little we know in the middle of the summer. And I will preface this on January the 3rd, that when we get to July the 3rd, 2 weeks out from Media Day, you're going to have read the magazines. You're going to hear all the people upbeat. Hey, we got 19 starters
back,
all this stuff.
Spring work.
You have no idea how this stuff's going to play out. None. And I'm talking about people that read for a living.
Yeah.
That interview people that know coaches. Man, you just don't ever know how it's going to play out.
You know, it's curious when you look at it, and I want to pull this up because Justin Fuente said something, and David Teal retweeted it because Norm Wood, who covers Virginia Tech for the Daily Press, of which David Teal obviously is a longstanding member, Justin Fuente went through a quote at the end of his deal on kind of his where he was. He said, well, you know, we've obviously seen the highs and we've seen the lows. Now the question is, can we embrace kind of where this is? That was the paraphrase, the quote. Do we understand now, having been through what we've been through this year, what it takes? And you know what? It's going to be very interesting to see how all of that gets pieced together.
What kind of odds would you have had if I told you that Clemson and Virginia Tech would combine to win more games than Miami, Florida State, NC State, and Syracuse combined. Just let that marinate a second, because that's what we had.
Yeah.
Clemson, Virginia Tech won 22.
Mm-hmm.
The other four teams won 21.
Yeah.
Crazy. Just can't, you just don't know.
Here's the quote Norm Wood has from Justin Fuente. I think it's important that we understand it doesn't guarantee success just because we've got people coming back.
That's right.
With the large number of them coming back, we've tasted the highs of the highs and the lowest of the lows, and I think that should fuel us moving forward.
I think that's right.
That's a really good quote. That's a really good quote of a coach who went through a ringer in 12 regular season football games this year. Because remember now, they had 5 wins at one point, of which 3 were Rhode Island, Furman, and Old Dominion. And then at the end, you know, they had that upward deal. And then at the end, Virginia Tech, and then the bowl game with Kentucky. Personally, I know the Virginia Tech loss, the Virginia loss hurts a lot of Hokie fans. But I'd feel a lot better about Virginia Tech this morning than I would about Miami.
Yes.
I mean, I'd feel a little bit better about Florida State right now than I do Miami. The Miami situation is the one that, in all honesty, it's going to be a long spring and gray clouds. Think about that. How's that? When does the clarity come through on something like that?
Well, you have to win, number one.
Oh, no, of course.
And when you're at Miami, mm-hmm. and the significance of the U, right? I'm talking about the U. Remember a couple of years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Mark Richt had it going, the U's back and all
sure,
that stuff.
Sure.
Hey, that is a fan base that expects excellence. And yeah. they've got now one of their own running the show. And all the talk and swagger and all that stuff leading into it, hey, that's all fine and good. But you got to win games. And if you know what, if Manny Diaz was sitting right here, he'd be the first one to tell you.
Absolutely.
He'd be the first one to look you right in the eye and say, you know what, we have got to do a better job closing the deal and winning games.
You know what I'll say about Manny Diaz, and I know it's not been a very easy fall from many respects for him as a first-time, first-year head coach. He's a realist about this. Now, he says some things sometimes that I think he probably wishes 45 seconds later he had back.
Don't we all?
Yes.
I didn't even go as far as 30 seconds.
30 seconds. But I think he understands, because he grew up there and around the program and worked there before getting the job, I think he understands the full consequential dynamic that is in place at Miami. As you just said, got to win. Got to win.
I think there's a couple blue bloods that in college football that as we move forward to the spring will be front and center in conversation piece. And Miami is one of them. I think Florida State's another one with Mike Norvell, just to see how the new guy takes over. And
sure.
Is there an immediate bump for the Noles in 2020?
Right.
I think Michigan and USC or others and Texas.
Oh. Yeah.
I put Texas in there, too. And, again, I know they're feeling good about beating Utah and wearing them out in the bowl game.
Sure.
But I think those are 5 teams that have a national brand as we move forward to 2020
mm-hmm.
that you got to sit there and say, hey, you know what? It's really kind of an important time. And okay. Michigan's, you know, they're a solid top 20 team, but they expect to be great. USC's not even a top 20 team, expects to be great. Miami, the U, they want to get back to the days where, guess what? Comes right through Coral Gables, man. Well, they got some work to do, too. Same thing with Florida State. Throw Texas in. So I think those are 5 national brands. When you start taking a sneak peek into 2020, that will be a front and center storyline in the spring.
There you go.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, you want a quick check of the weekend menu?
Let's do it. Bojangles. I could use some Bojangles right now, as a
matter of fact. Bet you could. One of those pimento cheese deals. Maybe Mac will bring you one on the way in here at 9 o'clock. Weekend menu brought to you by our great friends at Bojangles. We're going to start at noon tomorrow. Full slate of men's hoops.
Just you right here?
Malcolm Huckabee and I will be at the Little John Coliseum for the high noon start. We'll get your day going right. I promise you that.
You going to stop by Bridges Barbecue on the way down?
I got to get to a shoot around today or a practice today.
Well, you leave a half an hour early, you stop by in Bridges Barbecue.
Well, I got to cash out the back end of the show.
How about
then?
The Smoking Pig? You going to see those guys down there?
You never know.
Come on. What's wrong with you?
Florida State is at Louisville. That's on ESPN2 at 2 o'clock. Bob Wischusen, Dick Vitale will be at the Yum Center.
That's going to be a good game, man.
Also, Virginia Tech, Virginia tomorrow at noon. And you see Carolina and Georgia Tech. Mike Monaco, Jordan Cornette will be at Smith Center tomorrow night at 6 o'clock as Roy Williams guns for win number 880. And then full slate of women's basketball coming up on Sunday, including the
Red Hot Jackets. Big win last night.
Give me a big nail, yeah. Come on. Georgia Tech at Wake Forest at noon. Duke at number 7 Louisville, presented by Food Lion at 2 o'clock, and then Notre Dame, Syracuse, and Coach Hillsman's team.
Coach Q. How about that?
Off the win last night.
You know, we were talking about the four ranked ladies teams in action last night, how many we thought would win.
Oh.
How about everybody going 2-2?
Yeah.
How about that? Georgia Tech with a big win over Miami and Syracuse in overtime, knocking off Florida State.
Yep. Wake beat Duke last night 60-58. Louisville was the winner, as Pac mentioned. NC State, Wes Moore's team continues to roll 76-69 over Kenny Brooks and Virginia Tech last night at Valvano Arena at Reynolds Coliseum. Notre Dame beat Pittsburgh 60-52. Carolina 18 better than Virginia. And then we will show you the play of the ball game in the Florida State Syracuse game here.
Crazy. Well, there was, you know, there's a three to put it in overtime.
Yeah.
And then the backdoor cut layup ball game, Syracuse wins.
And here's the deal. Florida State's undefeated and goes into that ball game, and then Emily Inksler goes off the high screen off the back, gets the two screens at the top of the circle. And, I mean, it's like a post route. All she's got to do is catch and lay it in at the end.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Coach Q, dial them up.
Yep.
So we got what? Louisville, NC State.
Here it is. Watch. Look at this play.
Louisville, NC State, North Carolina, Georgia Tech are all undefeated in league play.
Yeah. Watch this. Here's the this is a highlight from the earlier part of the ball game. But Florida State, by the way, had the Syracuse had the lead at the half. I mean, they were playing pretty good last night at the Carrier Dome. And all of a sudden, this game was possession to possession, most of the fourth quarter it looked like. And then you'll get a three here, and then here's the backdoor cut off the top, the catch and the score.
Ball game. In OT.
Yep. Pretty cool. Double screen off the top.
And Georgia Tech, the Lady Jackets, they were down 42-31 during the last quarter. It just went nuts. Started making everything they looked at.
Like you on the greens?
Used to be.
Outscored Miami 30-12.
Yeah. Blew them out final period.
Tough night for our buddy Katie Meyer.
Tell you what, the ladies' race is going to be crazy too, man.
Mm-hmm. I agree with
you
that.
You got four ranked teams. Georgia Tech's about ready to bust through there too.
Yeah, Drew. We'll talk to Kelly Gramlich, bottom of the hour, about women's basketball.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you have one of these games tomorrow of the seven games on the men's card? Only Boston College is off tomorrow, by the way.
Do I have what now?
Do you have one of these games of the seven that you're like, ooh, boy.
There's two.
Okay. Virginia Tech, Virginia.
No doubt.
All right.
Louisville, Florida State.
All right.
Those are the two.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm going to watch your game.
No.
What else am I going to do? I'm going to be bedridden. I'm going to be eating soup for like 4 days in a row. Crackers, soup, and toast.
Come on. Like,
turn on the West Durham game. It's on noon, ACC Network.
Yeah,
from Little John.
West Durham game of the week.
If you don't have a plate, a barbecue tomorrow from Smoking Pig, you're gonna be totally disappointed in you.
On the show?
Yeah.
No, we're working. We don't
talk about.
We don't have time to do all that.
Let your guy here,
look. Malcolm Huckabee. Yeah, here he is.
This is your partner tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Malcolm, yeah.
You want this card? You really know who you're working with.
I know who Malcolm Huckabee is.
You let
is.
Malcolm talk for a little bit and grab you some Smoking Pig. So, Malcolm, you handle these next couple possessions. Let me just take a bite of this chopped sandwich. What's wrong with you? Tell you what, Clemson better get their act together because NC State's going to come down there and score. Clemson right now can't score.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. C.J. Bryce was hurt the other night in a shoot-around. The pregame against Appalachian missed the game, and no real definitive word about what his status is for the game tomorrow, too. And he and Funderburk coming off the bench have been important for the Wolfpack.
NC State's playing good basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson, they better figure that out. But that Louisville-Florida State game,
yeah,
that's going to be a real basketball game, boys.
Yeah.
Strap it on real tight. In Virginia Tech, you already taught me, listen, during the football season, How many Hokies and Cavs do we have calling the show?
Oh.
Crazy on one another.
Yeah.
And there's always kind of a role reversal in hoops, right?
Yep.
It's kind of like, okay, Virginia Tech, you'll get us some football, but the hoops, it's our turn. This one feels a little different. I know the Hoos are defending champs, but that was last year.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech can light it up. They have one of those games, man. That could be a tough, tough day for Virginia.
Yep.
Two good games. Really good games.
Virginia, we talked about this yesterday, number one in scoring defense, number 15 in scoring offense so far. Trying to sort this out. PJ Horn, I still think, is huge for them. I think that's a big piece of who the Hokies are tomorrow. Landers Nolly needs to have his game travel. Wabisa Beattie and Kihei Clark tomorrow, pretty good. Very interested to see kind of how all that comes together.
Outcome of those two games will give you a pretty good indicator when we do accounting on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first weekend of ACC hoops where accounting can be drastically different from week to week, in my opinion. Because the outcome of Louisville, Florida State is a big deal, and the outcome of Virginia, Virginia Tech is a big deal with accounting.
Yeah. If you weren't with us the other day, Louisville's the only team in the first five in the ACC in scoring offense and scoring defense.
How good will that crowd be?
Woo!
They're going to be fired up, man.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to get to Louisville in May.
Already. Every once in a while, the door kind of cracks open.
Hey.
The door kind of cracks open for you.
Just
and then you go, hey, by the way, we're going to be in Louisville.
By the way, I didn't hear this last night because I was in La La Land. But I understand that one of my all-time catchphrases was stolen on national television.
I think what happened last night.
I didn't hear it.
Neither did I, in full disclosure. But what happened last night was that I think your friend and mine, Cole Kublik.
Good dude.
Used frisbee-catching dogs when talking about Clemson wide receivers to reemphasize to Emmanuel Acho what LSU was going to see a week from Monday night. And I even think we have this. So you can now hear.
Oh, you have it.
I think we have this.
Sweet.
So here's Cole reemphasizing to Emmanuel Acho exactly what LSU is going to see with Kevin Connors, by the way, on the set last night.
To be able to run away from an elite defense. LSU has to make a decision. Do we want to shade towards the front side of the run game and take away Travis Etienne? Are our safeties going to have to stay deep and back to play against these big frisbee catching dogs that Clemson has at wide receiver? That's where Ohio State made the difference.
All right, now, you'll notice the look on Emmanuel Acho's face. Emmanuel Acho clearly not educated to the frisbee catching dog. Now, I said on Twitter last night to the gentleman who alerted me about this that I think because I know you and patent pending. I know what you and
this is not a trademark phrase, by the way.
I know it's not. But it could be if you had the time.
I mean, but it's not.
I know it's not. I'm not upset. Crafted this phrase.
For decades.
Yes. So would you agree that because of our professional and personal friendship with Cole Kublik that he is allowed to use frisbee catching?
Oh, sure. I mean, I got no issue at all.
I know you don't. Legally.
Now, had he said Southern Fried Football, I'd sue him. Because that is a trademark phrase that he does not have permission to use. Anybody can use frisbee catching, though.
How much does it cost to use the Southern Fried Football phrase for Cole?
You can ask a few others what it would cost. And they know who they are. That one is trademarked.
All right. But we have
logoed everything.
We have no issue with Cole.
No, I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. But I didn't know that until I had heard it early this morning.
Right. And I said because I told the guy on Twitter last night, I think because of our.
Oh, no. I got no issue.
Especially with you appears with you every week on off campus.
I love Cole.
Yeah,
I think
he's outstanding.
Excellent.
And he was great last night in the studio. He was backing Acho down now. He had Acho at the block calling for the ball. He was, I mean. I mean, I'll get Drew and Josh to confirm that. They've seen more studio shows than I have, but it looked like that Cole was calling for the ball at the block. Kevin, throw me the ball right here. I got him pinned because Acho was going down the road on LSU and all this other stuff, and Cole's like, well, no, wait a second. And then he called, throw me the ball right here. I'll call.
No, I think it's cool. Yeah. I love it.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
What you doing over there?
Holding up our picture yesterday of the eight football coaches from the late 60s in the ACC. Because I was asked about this several times yesterday on social media after the show was over. Including one guy that was listening to our SiriusXM ACC 371 channel and wanted me to tweet a picture of the coaches to him because he almost ran off the road listening to you once again do the Frank Howard impression. And, of course, I started doing Bill Dooley. One thing led to another. I just thought I'd show this to people who missed yesterday's show. There's a whole story. I think it'll be in the Best Of show. I feel confident it's got a chance of being in it. Is this going to be in the Best Of show? We can ask the Lumberjacks. It's Barker by time. It's not.
Say no.
It's not going to be in the Best Of show. So what's the point? Never mind. Let me just put it right there.
We would be the last to know what's in the Best Of show.
There we go.
We already make it more difficult for the guys in Bristol because they're like, man, you know, we got to fill an hour. Do you think we can come up with an hour's worth of content from these guys?
Not really good content, but anyway. All right, let's do Barker Bay.
Now, the Best Of show always consists of anything where Josh and I are talking. So we were not in that segment, so therefore it could not possibly be in the Best Of show.
Makes sense.
Tell you what.
Don't let Frank get after you.
Don't let Coach Hyde get after you, boys. Okay, bark or bite, ladies and gentlemen. On the left, Josh Macri, proud graduate of Syracuse University, the Newhouse School. On the right, Drew Brooks, noted Sun
Arizona
Devil
State fan. Yeah,
Arizona State fan, graduate of Mighty Emerson, to be confused with Mighty Elon,
and still has Tony the Tiger Frosted Flakes in his back pocket from the Big W over the weekend.
All right, Mr. Macri leads the way on bark or bite, Joshua.
All right, fellas, first one, huge night of women's hoops yesterday, as we referenced earlier. So bark or bite, the women's college basketball season will actually be more chaotic than the men's season in the ACC this year.
I'm going to agree with that.
You're going to say bite?
I'm going to say bite. You know why? Because I think the ladies have at least three that, you know what, I don't know who's the best between Louisville, Florida State, and NC State, and there's another handful like Georgia Tech last night, Miami as well, that could win it as well. I think you could go five deep on the ladies' side to win the ACC championship. I don't think I can say the same for the men. I'm going to bite on that. How about that, Westerham?
I'm going to hedge. Can I half bark, half?
No, you can't do you. It's a bark. Here's what it is. It's not bark, hedge, and bite. It's bark.
Did you hear what Macri said?
Bite. Yeah, I heard
typical.
Him. You got to pick one.
All right, I'm gonna bark. I think the men's side is slow to boil, if you will, here. But I think once we get to February, I think we're gonna have some stuff going on.
Okay, I will tell you this: this weekend, Virginia Tech, Louisville, Florida State,
crucial.
Those are two games that should give you an indicator early,
right,
of what could potentially come down the road. Just saying.
Got it.
Can I not answer this question that this segment is completely dependent on me answering? That's Wes Durham's motto. Moving on, bark or bite. The bad bowl results for the ACC this season will carry over to impact the perception of the league in 2020.
Bite.
There you
bite.
Go.
America will use this to tell you the ACC is no good. No doubt. Because, again, 3-4 years ago, it wasn't until July they realized the ACC was the best league in the country. And all the people with the volume turned up and telling you that, you know, whatever the – they will use 4-6 in bowl games. And even if Clemson were to beat LSU and be 5-6 the ACC, it would still be that the league wasn't very good. So, yes, they will bite. Absolutely.
100% agree with that. 100%.
It is the most misguided logic in forming an opinion that because the league wasn't good in postseason, that it's not going to be good the following year, but it gets brought out every year in a wheelbarrow, dumped in the yard, and everybody rakes it around for the offseason.
And here's the other thing. You know, 2020 is a whole new deal, man. But it's going to be the same conversation piece, I think, in the ACC. Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech. Those guys have got to get on the run. They got to get hot.
Unless, the only thing I would add to that is their history would indicate they need to be good unless you can get another school to develop some pattern of continuity. And I'll use Syracuse as the example. You won 10 last year. You turn around and won, what, 5 this year? Yep. You need to win. If you're going to win 10, you need to back it up with 7. NC State was on the verge of kind of becoming one of those schools. You go 9-9, and then you fall off the cliff this year. If you get it back, if you're Dave Dorn, all these coaching changes take shape, and you get it back for the next year, then you're 9-9, 3-8-7, whatever the case may be, at least you're showing a pattern of improvement or a pattern of progress as a program.
And there's a couple teams, I think, in the Coastal, and I'll even dabble with Louisville in the Atlantic. This upcoming year can now start to bookend. But I think North Carolina.
Yes.
I think Virginia. And I think Pittsburgh have opportunities in 2020 in football to start piecing stuff together, especially in the Coastal, if those three are in the hunt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. Next, please.
All right, guys. Bark or bite that Trevor Lawrence is the most important athlete in the entire conference, any sport, 2020.
Totally agree, 1,000%.
It's not Zion?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No, 16's the guy, man.
Well, first of all, he's going to be in exactly the same spot, win or lose, next Monday night that he was coming into this year. Because he's going to be back in all the talk for the Heisman. He'll be back in all the talk for Clemson being one of the best teams in the country. He will be the face of the Tigers.
Be the face of the league.
He will be the face of the league. And the unique piece about this is that guy catching that pass right there might also be in the neighborhood of the face of the league simply because of the freshman year. It won't be to the level Lawrence had, Pack, but I think Sam Howell's going to be in that neighborhood.
If Trevor Lawrence wins Monday night,
oh, he'll be on the stratosphere.
He's going to be 30-0.
By the way,
30-0. Let's cut the nonsense of sharing the spotlight.
Let me lay one on you.
Come on, man.
He's going to be.
Uh-oh. Time out.
Wes math time.
Wes does math.
If he wins Monday night, in his last 5 years of football, he will be 71-1.
Who'd the Purple Hurricanes lose to?
Blessed Trinity in the state. Blessed Trinity in a state semifinal his senior year. They went back-to-back undefeateds his sophomore junior year and then lost in the state semis his senior year. I'm sorry, they'd be 70-1 because they went 12-1, not 13-1.
Do we need to double-check that?
I'm starting to feel bad for Wes. We're piling on Wes this segment. We should stop doing that.
I got $100 that says Drew knew the line in that game.
Let's move along, shall we?
All right, a couple more, and we'll be nice to you this time, Wes. Bark or bite, a Florida State win over Louisville this weekend means that the Seminoles are the second best team in the conference.
That's a good question. Oh. I'm going to say yes, sir, to that. You know why? Because you're going to have to do it on the road. You win that one on the road. All of a sudden, Leonard Hamilton down there in Tallahassee is telling the rest of the league, guess what, boys?
Yeah.
I know about all your shades of blue. I get you there at Louisville, but guess what? You get a W on the road in that joint this weekend, you better believe Florida State's making a statement. That's why it's such a big game.
I bite on that, too. I think there's – when you start thinking about where this Florida State team is, they've got all the pieces – that kind of come at you in waves. We talked about yesterday with Devin Vassell. Here's the other thing, too. They've got guys that are hidden talents like Michael Snerer was on that team that won the ACC tournament. They got guys that can go get points. And so, yeah, I would definitely say that. If they beat Louisville on Saturday, they're right there trailing Duke as the as the number two team in the league.
For now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we all know accounting is fluid.
You know it.
Fluid. All right. What else?
All right, guys. Last one. Bark or bite. This bowl season as a whole, not just in the ACC, has proven that playoff expansion would not be beneficial for college football.
Oh, Bark. Please. Please. This
bite.
Year, this year we've got three great football teams.
I agree. But I still don't think we need to expand.
I think you need to expand more than ever before. You know why? Not because those three teams could get beat. Every year is a different deal. And college football better be careful. If we get down to the same three or four teams every year and the field is only four, sure. It is not healthy for the sport. Just telling you.
I think four is fine.
And here's the other thing. The Sugar Bowl, 20,000 empty seats. All these bowl games have gotten watered down to whatevers. It's not good either.
You
better expand it ASAP. Somebody write the check.
I don't have a problem with it. I think four is fine.
You know why you like four?
Why?
Because if we went to eight, it'd take you half an hour to figure out how many teams we've added.
Oh, my God. That's cold.
That's why. You don't want any math involved. Come on, man. We got to get more people involved. And I'm not telling you eight can beat one. But you know what? Virginia didn't think they were going to lose to a 16 seed either.
I just don't think you need it right now.
Oh, okay.
I don't. I don't think it proves anything.
We need the Birmingham Bowl.
Packet. One doesn't
need. We need Myrtle Beach.
But one doesn't go with the other.
Why not?
Because the Birmingham Bowl is still going to exist whether we have 4, 8, or 32.
What's happening? You know what? When the Sugar Bowl becomes a whatever game, that's not good.
Right, but if you add two more games.
Yeah. And you incorporate the Rose, the Sugar, the
Fiesta. Well, first of all, we can't have any logic about the Rose Bowl because the most important thing about the Rose Bowl is the parade.
Well, fine. But I just think that if we get down to it's the same old, same old.
I know.
And you're Clemson, hey, it's great. Yep. You're Bama, it's great. You're Ohio State, it's great. You're Oklahoma, well, it's great until you get in and get killed. But if it's the same old four all the time, Wes.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
I don't think that's healthy for the sport.
I understand. The same old four is not expand the playoff. To me, it's two different dynamics.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Bob Valvano will join us next hour making his debut. Eric McClain will be in the studio, better known as the basement, about 9 a.m. And Wes, we now have another tremendous talent making her debut on the show.
Live from a boarding area at Dulles Airport, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kelly Gramlich to the show. Kelly, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
We're okay.
Pack is playing hurt today, Kelly. Pack's dealing with the transitional head cold / upper respiratory, whatever type situation. So we're getting that. We're getting a solid A effort. Yeah, so. What did you learn last night? What did we learn last night in ACC women's basketball? Because in full disclosure, yesterday we talked about the four ranked teams that were playing last night, and I said, three will win, and we went 2-2.
Well, we learned that there's more parity in this league than I think most people thought. People who follow the league pretty closely weren't too surprised to see Wake Forest go and beat Duke. I was pretty surprised to see Syracuse beat Florida State. That was more of the surprising upset for me because I've been so impressed with Florida State and how the big three and specifically Kaia Gillespie have played for the Seminoles. But give Syracuse all the credit in the world. They were up early. Florida State battled back. And then I know you guys saw the ending to that game. That one was absolutely insane.
How good's Georgia Tech? That was a great win last night.
Yes, big win for Georgia Tech. And look, they hadn't played a great non-conference schedule, but they were second nationally in scoring defense heading into last night's game. I don't care who you played. If you're second nationally in scoring defense, that's pretty darn good. They got down early 18-4 and then battled back against Miami. I love how they guard And you have to give Nell Fortner a ton of credit for taking a team that has a lot of veterans but hasn't won a lot, and the way that she's made them believe. I think they're definitely an NCAA tournament team.
Yeah, it's interesting because when she took over the program, there was thought to be this air of rebuilding, but, I mean, they've won some ball games in the last couple of years. Is it just different voice in the room, different style that's giving them some success here, Kelly?
Yes, I think so. And they're a great rebounding team, too, inside with Kubai and Lotnin. And, you know, Francesca Pond, they have these players that have been in the league for a very long time. I feel like Francesca Pond has been at Georgia Tech for years. She has that Hunter Renfrow factor. I feel like she's there every single year. And so these are not, you know, newbies. And so I think Nell Fortner, some people saw it as a rebuilding job, but she obviously saw it as something a little better than that because she, you know, took that leap to take that job coming out of TV. And she knew what she could do with that team, and they've been really impressive.
Kelly, do you think Georgia Tech's a top 25 team?
I wouldn't rank them this week just because, like I said, in the non-conference, they don't have too many impressive wins. Now, Miami is that big win on their schedule now. But I would say give them a few more weeks, but I think they're definitely an NCAA tournament team.
All right, so then the other storyline that's playing out, and we're talking about first-year coaches with Kelly Gramlich, who one of our women's basketball analysts on ACC Network. Courtney Banghart is – Carolina has been an interesting story from the start. Now, I'm not sure where schedule strength comes into play, at least in November and December, but now as we get into league play, you go to Virginia and win by 18 last night. That tells me something. Just going to Virginia and winning by 18 is a number alone, right?
Oh, yes. And, you know, North Carolina, what they've done so far, they were undefeated for a very long time. Then they go lose at Alabama. They stumbled against an Ivy League team. But to start 2-0 in ACC play, and, you know, I just felt like with Sylvia Hatchell, all the respect in the world to her, but, you know, she'd been there for a very long time. It seems like UNC needs a little bit of a breath of fresh air, and that's what Courtney Banghart has given them. And they have all five of their starters average double figures. Those numbers are absolutely crazy. And, you know, if you can score the ball, you can win on any given night in ACC play. So North Carolina, that's another team that I think is very possible to be an NCAA tournament team.
Kelly, it just seems strange to go through five, six, seven teams in the ACC with women's basketball and not even think about the fact we haven't mentioned Notre Dame yet. I know this was going to be a rebuild for Muffet, but it really has been tough on them.
Yes, can you say that again for me one more time, Pack?
Sure.
I was just boarding, so
she's
go ahead.
Standard boarding pass, Pack,
yeah,
during the show.
I thought we went off
the air. I was trying to wait as long as possible.
How about this? She's scanning boarding passes. We're getting the best effort right here.
You know, I thought we just went off the air, but yet, no. Kelly's actually sitting in an exit row and just said yes.
I wish I was in an exit row.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. A little leg room.
We'll send you the website.
I mentioned that Notre Dame has gotten off, obviously, to a slow start. It's weird to go to about six or seven teams through the ACC and not mention Notre Dame. And we knew it was going to be a rebuild for Muffet. But is it possible that they can find it and make a run, or is this just going to be one of those rebuild years?
You know, I think it is going to be a rebuild year. I was hopeful for Notre Dame. I picked them sixth in the ACC, and I thought they'd still make the tournament, but they're so young, and their freshmen have struggled a little bit, and they just can't shoot it, guys, which is so crazy to see a Notre Dame team that can't shoot the ball. But they rank dead last in ACC play in three-point percentage. They were 1-for-8. Last night, they're shooting just 22% from three. They're second to last in the ACC in free throw percentage. They can't shoot it. And that's just a crazy thing to see from a Notre Dame team, and they have struggled defensively. So right now, if you ask me, I would say they're not an NCAA tournament team, which is just crazy to think about with Notre Dame.
Yeah. Hey, safe travels. Make sure you are completely buckled in and your seat is in its upright and locked position, please.
This is how much I wanted to be on the show, so I appreciate it. I hope you guys will have me back.
All right. Take care. Thanks, Kelly. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Kelly Gramlich joining us from ACC Network. And Fuller's excited.
Because you got his ball over here.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah.
All right. There you go, big boy.
Your buddy Wes, man.
Yeah. There you go.
Well,
all right. Take the ball.
Frisbee catching dog right there.
There we go.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.